They sat down to fight it out. A stirring Jericho Cup battle. This is like St. Edmund gold medals all over again. Will John hit the lead, though, from a game, Bud Fox? And Will John will do it.
Will John over a game. Bud Fox is called by Rick McIntosh there at the Bull yesterday for the fourth edition of the Jericho Cup, fast becoming, as I said, one of the great days on the Australian racing calendar. And Bill Gibbons, I'm sure, sits there with a chest puffed out and a big smile on his dial. He put it together a couple of years ago. He joins us on the Breakfast Club this morning. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, mate. I'm not sure about the puffed out chest and the big smile, but I'm pretty contented, yeah.
Yeah, surely you've got to be seeing what's happening yesterday and the last couple of years, the build-up, the way it's grown, Bill, and you sit there and go, this has become something very, very special. And it's as it is a great race, it's more than racing. I think that's what makes it quite unique.
Yeah, it's just a race for battles, mate. As I've said, you could probably buy the entire field for $300,000. You'd still have change to go to Bali for a couple of weeks. But that's not—they're not blue bloods; they're just battlers. And it's always amazed me that people can keep paying up for horses that just aren't going that fast. So this is something that, you know, that they can aspire to. Anybody can win this race. It just so happens a very rich guy won the race yesterday. It's Colin McKenna. But just because he's got money doesn't exclude him from being a good bloke, and he is a great guy. But yeah, that all the battlers can win it. It's an easy race, and no one knows. It was a very good field. It was unbelievable. It came out of turn. There's three across the track.
Yeah.
After 4,600 up and down the hill twice. An amazing race.
Can you believe what you've built, Bill? I mean, it is phenomenal. The level of interest, the emotional attachment very quickly. Four runnings of the Jericho, and everyone talks about it. And everyone now wants to win it. There's a real emotional connection to this.
Yeah, a lot of people say, oh, you know, did you expect it to be this big? Of course I bloody expected it to be this big. That's why I did it. But whether it would, when I said to Roland Perry, I was up at the Warrnambool Senior Committee, you know, 5-6 years ago, I said, I've got it up, it's going to happen. He said, oh, I hope it's successful. I said, it'll be successful. Just how successful will be, how hard you work on it. And a lot of time went into, you know, you had to bring it together because there's no point in running this race at Moonee Valley or Flemington or wherever. This is the place to run the race. It's a pinch on the Grand Annual, and we had to take the jumps away. And it's just running those horses, running free through the paddocks. It just looks fantastic. And it just had to be there. And, start the Sydney way, finish the Melbourne way. And it's 7 minutes. It can be... It could be boring as batshit, or it can be. So we had to be there. And people say, you know, why Warrnambool? But that's why. It's just a fantastic course. And plus, it's you can't get everybody there, but with TV, it can go around Australia, you know, and it is a showcase for Warrnambool. It's just a spectacular event. And the crowd, when they had the minute silence, you could have heard a pin drop. When they played the national anthems, you could have heard from New Zealand and Australia. And they spoke the oath, you know, lest we forget. Everybody, that 5,000 people or so on course, you could have heard a pin drop as the respect that was. And I said, I don't know whether people, you know, you make speeches in the middle of the track and you're never sure whether people can hear you or not. But I just said, you know, thanks for paying the light horse the respect that they deserve. And, it's a special day. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, congratulations, Bill, with what you've done. And you've got a big fan in here with Matt Stewart, who just loves the event, maybe as much as you do, Bill.
I think he likes it more than I do.
But so a couple of things on that, because you're now handing over the reins. You're now handing it over, and it's going to be someone else's responsibility to continue to grow it, and Racing Victoria have said that they will. Are you confident that everything's going to be the way you want it to be moving forward?
If you'd asked me that question last week, I'd have said no.
Yeah.
But at least Giles Thompson was there on course, and I haven't spoken to him since about the thing, but at least he got to stand there and feel the emotion that is attached to this race, and maybe it just got through to him that it is something special, and maybe the Racing Victoria should treat it with the respect that it deserves. So I'm not sort of going. The last 12 months, really. I don't know. I reckon it's taken years off my life. It's not knowing with all this COVID, are you working for all this? And then once again, there's going to be nobody there. You didn't know. So it was, it's been a hard slog.
Yeah.
But worthwhile.
And then when is the best time of year to run it? Because this week we had the Zipping Classic, and there was a big build-up around the Zipping Classic going to Caulfield, and it was a great day at Caulfield on Saturday with the Jericho to come on the weekend as well. What do you think moving forward? Does it need to move later, more into the summer? You're happy with where it is? What are your thoughts on that?
No, just move the Zipping Classic. That's what you've got to do.
Right.
That's simple. I didn't select this time. When we were battling to get the race up, that was what was allocated. You can come in here somewhere between Christmas and the spring carnival, and that was given to us. So what you do, now you don't change anything. When you get something, you organise it, you plan all the things that can go right, all the things that can go wrong, and you put together a blueprint of how something's going to happen, and then you just do it. You don't change anything. I'm not changing a thing. The Jericho Cup's the fourth weekend after the fourth Sunday after the Melbourne Cup, and everything revolves around before and after the Melbourne Cup as far as the racing industry goes. So that's where we are. We're at Warrnambool, we're on a Sunday, and that's it.
Full stop.
Full stop.
I think Matthew, your friend Matthew, wouldn't mind it being the standalone Saturday.
Yeah. But Matthew says, you'll get 20. I don't want 20,000 people. It'd be bloody painful if it was 20,000 people. We're going to do it in summer. We're going to have beach cricket and beach volleyball and all these dickheads running around that would not know anything about the light horse. No, that ain't going to happen. You had 5,000 people there who knew what it was all about. You looked around the crowd, not all, 90% of people were dressed up in their fines. They didn't go there to win a bloody fashions on the field contest. They wanted to pay respect to the day. And that's what it is. It is what it is, and we'll stay with it. Now, if someone wants to come on and try and change it, well, they're going to lose. It's you set something up and you just keep doing it. The Zipping Classic. Now, let me tell you the Zipping Classic. The Zipping Classic honours a horse that was trained by the best racer horse trainer to never bother getting the trainer's license. But this honours Australia's history, you know, that you put someone in uniform with a gun over their shoulder on a horse, and there's just something romantic about it. It takes you back, and that's what the racing industry is. They're descendants of these people. They were horsemen 100 years ago, and they're horsemen today. I don't want to change anything. Sorry, Maddie, but change nothing.
No, we'll make sure we get that news through to him. In fact, he's out the back nodding his head going, that's okay.
I've told him many times.
No, he'll listen eventually, Bill. It takes a while. It takes a while for some things to get through to him. The New Zealand element, I mean, obviously, it's open to Australian New Zealand horses, the Jericho. How important was that for you for the whole operation of it?
Yeah, it was. We'll have to put shit on the Kiwis and vice versa. But, you know, when you know, shit happens, you're pretty close together. And they were, straight the light horse and New Zealand mounted rifles, they were as one over there. And, the Kiwi National Anthem is a very, half of it's in Maori. And it's a very romantic anthem. And, all these people, they stood and paid just as much respect for that as they paid for the Australian National Anthem. It's probably with COVID and a lot of the guaranteed start races, the two in New Zealand, they couldn't come over because, you know, they've got problems with transport and that. And the guy from, one's from Albany. But hopefully next year, you know, all these horses will be able to come. So and this year we had a guaranteed start race in Brisbane on the Gold Coast on Cup Day.
Yep.
When you've got people from Albany, what about Albany? Albany put off on Anzac weekend, put on a $100,000 race with $20,000 towards your travelling costs to come over for the race. Now, they couldn't come because of Western Australia. See? But I always said about Western Australia when I was in business, when I went over there, I had to show them my return ticket or they wouldn't talk to me. I was a wise man from the east, you know. They're putting up this sort of dough to run a race. And when the race they ran this year was a sensational finish, three-horse photo, short half head. And I said to them, and that was, believe it or not, Western Australia's about 5 minutes of lockdown, and those 5 minutes were when the guaranteed start race was on. It was that Anzac weekend, and nobody could go to the race. And I said to the secretary, bad luck you never crowded anything. And he said to me, they're making plenty of noise in the trainers were making up for it.
I reckon they might have.
People want to be involved. Doesn't matter that it's got something to do with Victoria. They wanted to be involved. So you're covering 6,000 kilometres a year surface from New Plymouth and Riccarton to Albany, where people are looking at this race. And as I said, you know, it was good to have Giles. I don't know what possessed him to go down there on the weekend, but he did. Yeah. So, you know, you don't have to say a word. One look's worth a million words. So, yeah, hopefully the penny's dropped.
Now, Bill, did you back the winner?
No. I believe it or not, I got two bets. You just don't have time. You're trying to be everywhere. And the day goes so quickly. You know, because I used to always think about the time between races. You know, geez, it's a long time. You know, you're waiting for the next race to come up. But by the time you're doing all the presentations and walking around and running around, yeah, it just goes.
Well, you've created something very, very special, and it was another great addition yesterday. Will John for Kieran Maher, Dave Eustace getting the chocolates over the 4,600 of the Jericho Cup. Great to chat to you, Bill. Always a pleasure having you on RSN 927, and we appreciate it this morning after a big day yesterday.
No worries, mate. Thanks for your time.
Good man. Bill Gibbons, the founder of the Jericho Cup, which was run yesterday for the fourth time, and Will John taking it out over
It's always funny when the Battlers race is won by Australia's leading trainer. Although he's a local boy.
He's a local boy
and
too.
And
you,
loving it.
You Western District boys.
Yeah, we stick together.
You stick together.
There's a text here. I'm a Kiwi and have to say I love the Jericho and the respect Aussies have for us. Horse racing and mateship. Can't beat it.
It's really not.